All right, brethren, John chapter 21. The apostles had fled that night that our Lord was crucified, and Peter had denied the Lord three times, as the Lord said he would. And the apostles had come to Galilee, but they had left where the Lord had told them to go, and they went fishing. And the Lord appeared, and he revealed himself in their heart by his word. He filled their net with fish. He called them to himself. He had a meal prepared for them. He said, "Come and dine." And he gave the food to each of them that morning. And it says, verse 14, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." This is the third time. And yet up to this point, the Lord Jesus had not spoken to Peter concerning his denial of the Lord. Our Lord had interceded for Peter. That's why his faith did not fail. Our Lord had laid down his life for Peter, put away his sin. Our Lord had protected Peter. Our Lord had called him to himself and fed him. But he hadn't yet spoken to him about his denial. This reminds me of that the Lord's dealing with Elijah that I talked about this morning. When Elijah was lifted up in pride and his faith just disappeared and he became fearful of men, he ran into the wilderness, dropped off his servant at Judah, and he kept on going into the wilderness, and he went under a juniper tree and just laid down and went to sleep. Now he's directly running from where the Lord told him to be, running from what the Lord gave him to do, the commission the Lord had given him to prophesy. And he's in the middle of the wilderness, asleep under a juniper tree. And you might expect that the Lord would make it start raining on him because he was sinning against the Lord, denying the Lord. Or maybe you'd think the Lord would send a storm or something, you know. Here's what the Lord did. He sent an angel who touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Later, the Lord spoke in a still small voice and restored Elijah. But first, he fed him. He fed him. Up to this point, the Lord had said nothing about Peter's denial. He first fed him. He drew him to himself and he fed him. Despite his denial, despite his not waiting on the Lord, despite him, the Lord came and drew Peter to himself. God said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That's what he says to his people. "I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness have I drawn thee." And though we fail and fail and fail, the Lord never stops loving his people, and he never stops drawing us to him in loving kindness. We don't like to see brethren fall, but we sure are thankful for the falls recorded in the scripture, because we get to see how our Lord dealt with his people and how he restored his people. And that gives us some hope and faith, and to know that's what he's going to do for us. He brought Peter and these others to see their inability. They had fished all night. They didn't catch anything. And then he revealed himself to them. He filled their net. He drew them to him and he fed them. He said, "Come and dine." It was all done. Christ is going to first, and when he begins to restore his child, he's going to make you hear this gospel again, that it is all done. He's going to make you hear the gospel Because it's Christ that restores, so we have to behold him. We have to be made to see our Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh is only mortified when we're not looking at ourselves. That's the only way your flesh is mortified. And the Spirit does that through the gospel, turning us to him. And that's why Paul said in Colossians 3, after he talked about Colossians 2, he said, all this touch not, taste not, it has a real good show about it in will worship. But it doesn't, and it satisfies the flesh, but it does not mortify the flesh. Set your affection on things above. And that's what the Spirit turns us to do, and to see Christ declare, hear Christ declare, the work is finished. I've justified you. That's what he's going to speak to his people. I've put away your sin. You're righteous. You're not going to perish. That's the only way you're going to be settled to hear him. And to be taught by him. As long as you think you're under condemnation, you're going to fear and tremble and run and chuck and jive. You're not going to bow and hear him. Judgment won't do anything. That's what the Lord taught Elijah. That strong wind and that earthquake and all of that didn't work anything in Elijah's heart. The Lord wasn't in it. We saw this tornado that hit Mississippi Friday night, and you wake up Saturday morning and see the devastation. That's not going to bring anybody to repentance. God's going to do it through the gospel with a still small voice speaking into your heart. That's when Elijah came out of the cave and put his mantle on his face and covered his face. And that's what the Lord's going to do first, is draw us through this gospel to know he's still your wisdom. He's still your righteousness. He's still your sanctification and your redemption. He's showing you he's your sanctification because he's drawing you out of away from yourself, away from your flesh, away from your fall, back to him. That's what true sanctification is. You're in him. You're in the Spirit. He's going to keep you in him. He's going to keep you in the tower. And he can keep you walking after him in that state. Your heart's holy. He just has to establish you, your heart, to know in him you're unblameable and holy. And he's the meat. He's the bread. So he finds his straying sheep and draws us to him and says, come and dine. When he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Christ is the bread of life. That applies to when he first calls you. You don't have any life till you believe him. You eat his flesh and drink his blood. But that applies to us throughout the days of this pilgrimage through this wilderness. The only way you're going to have life in you is to eat his flesh and drink his blood. That means you're going to have to hear Christ and hear what he accomplished. And he's going to have to bless it to our heart and make you believe him just like it's the first day you ever believed him. Because he's the life. We don't have it any other way. We don't have it any other way. He's the life. He's the life. And he's going to speak that word of life into you. And that's how he's going to begin restoring his child. Verse 15 says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Later, John is going to walk up behind them. It says he was following them. So obviously the Lord, after they dined, the Lord took Peter for a walk down the beach, down the shore of Galilee. This is personal between Christ and his disciple. It's going to be personal between you and the Lord. Nobody else can do this but the Lord. And it's going to be very personal between you and the Lord. Peter had suffered long enough. And the Lord's not going to, he's not there to shame him. He's there to restore him. He's there to restore him. Now notice the name by which the Lord addressed Peter. He said in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas. That was his natural name. That was the name given him when he was born the first time, dead in trespasses and sin. That's his name as the son of Jonah. as the son of Adam, as the sinner. Peter is the name the Lord gave him when he gave him a new heart and called him to faith in Christ. Just like he called Saul of Tarsus, Saul was his name when he was dead in sin. Paul was the name the Lord gave him when he gave him a new heart. Simon was the name the Lord used when he asked, "What think you of Christ?" And apostles gave a good answer. And that's the name the Lord used when he said, "Simon, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Simon, you didn't reveal this to you. My Father which is in heaven revealed this to you." Flesh profits nothing. Those born of God have an old man of sin, that is of Adam, and we have a new man that's created of Christ, that's of Christ. The old man is sin, always will be sin, produces nothing but sin, and will die and go back to the dust because of sin. The new man is created of our Lord Jesus in his image, holy, in his holiness, with his presence in you, righteous by his finished work at Calvary, imputed to you. And it's in this new man that he makes you worship him. It's in this new man that he gives you faith, repentance, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance. Everything is in the new man. And so using this name Simon here, one thing, it's going to remind Peter, he's still a sinner. He's still Simon. He's still Simon. But it also reminds him, since he doesn't go by the name Simon, he goes by Peter. It also reminds him he is also a born-again child of God that's been given a new name. He's a sinner that's been redeemed, that's been clothed in Christ's righteousness through faith. It's reminding him of the Lord's love and grace that called him out of the darkness into the light. And here he is again, calling him out of the darkness into the light. But the last time Peter heard the Lord address him as Simon, do you remember when it was? The last time he heard him address him as Simon, he said, "Y'all are all going to forsake me tonight. You're going to deny me. It's written. The shepherd shall be smitten. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." It's written. Brethren, some of your falls and my fall, well, all of them, God's sovereign, they're already written. God already knows them. They're written. Lord told them, "You're going to deny me." And Peter said, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. They all will. But I love you more than they do. And I will not. I will die with you, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Simon, Simon." Because that's who was speaking when he bragged about what he'd do, what he had done. That was Simon. That wasn't Peter. He said, "Simon, Simon, the devil has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." You know what he told Simon? He said, "If I wasn't for saving you by my intercession, you would perish. You would certainly perish." That was when the Lord rebuked Peter. He's not here to rebuke him. He's here to restore him. But Peter had to experience this fall. He was too proud. He was too self-confident. And he had to experience it. And you and me, brethren, are going to have to experience a lot of falls. That's just all there is to it. We just are. I've experienced a fall, and it's for one reason, pride. Pride. And you will too, and we will again. The Lord had told him beforehand he was going to deny the Lord three times. He had told him that. And so when he says, "Simon, Simon," you can just picture Peter thinking about when he said, "I will not deny you, Lord. I love you more than all these." That's when the Lord called him Simon before. And now he knows I did exactly what the Lord said I would do. I denied him 3 times, and then a rooster crowed, just like he said it would. Just like he said I would. And so Peter knows. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. That's what Peter knows now. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. And so he answers differently now than he did before the fall. He says, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. And the word he uses here is not the word the Lord used when the Lord said, do you love me? Not the same word. The word Peter used is, he said, yes, Lord, you know I have strong affection for you. The Lord knows our heart of flesh. He knows all your sin before you ever commit it. He had to know it. He took it all upon himself and laid down his life for his people and put it away. And he knows every fall, every step, every thought, everything about our sinful flesh. He knows it. And when you see what our Lord told Peter and how he told Peter, he knew that Peter would deny him. That is even a comfort to know for a child of God. He knows my sin before I do it. That means he knows what I need before I know what I need, because he knows what I'll do before I know what I'm going to do. That blesses my heart. That comforts my heart. But there's something else here that comforts a child of God. He also knows the new heart he's created in you. And that's what Peter is saying. He's saying, Lord, you know my new heart. But Peter, having fallen, he's not going to boast now and use that strong word for love. And he didn't say, I love you more than them. He just said, Lord, you know I have strong affection for you, and left it at that. He didn't say, I love you more than they do this time. Why? He found out he didn't. He found out he didn't. He found out he didn't believe near as strongly as he thought he did. He found out he wasn't near the courageous believer ready to die with the Lord that he thought he was. He found out his love was very small. And that's what the Lord's teaching you and me, brethren. The trial is going to humble us. It's going to teach us that when we've got too big for our britches, the Lord's going to teach us that we're personally still the sinner, and he knows it. He knows it. He's going to make us see ourselves as less than the least, and through this ongoing, eventually he's going to make you see yourself as the chief of sinners. It's called growth in grace. Growing to know him more. Growing to see him higher. Growing to see him as being all your righteousness more. Being made to see him as everything more and more. And the more that light shines, the more it reveals all the cracks and crevices and broken down, dilapidated parts of this building we dwell in. And so you're humbled as that light shines more and more. That's now, as the scripture said earlier, the people say, our rock's not like their rock. Well, it's not, and neither is that work of grace right there either, like what people say. People think you're getting more, better, and prouder, and more courageous, till you can just face death like a valiant champion. It's not like that. It's just the opposite of that. If the world tells you something, shut it out, because they're telling you the opposite of what this book says. You see, the only reason we love the Lord is because he first loved us. And that's what we see happening right here with Peter right now. The only reason Peter has been called back to the Lord and it's being taught and restored by the Lord is because the Lord first did this for him to bring him to him. The Lord is first loving him to bring Peter to love the Lord. Again. We love him because he first loved us. He chose his people in eternity because he loved us in Christ freely. That means when the Lord gives you spiritual gifts, brethren, he's not going to get mad at you when you don't do something right and take those spiritual gifts away from you. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He will take temporal things from you because we're like a baby with a pacifier. Or we don't want to put something that shouldn't be in our mouth, and he takes it out. But he's going to keep the spirit in you and keep you knowing and loving you and drawing you to him, because we love him because he first loved us. Now, verse 15, he said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And the Lord said to him, "Feed my lambs." They're my lambs, Peter. They're my lambs. They're weak, they're small, they're frail, but they're my lambs, Peter. Feed them. He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Again, he uses that strong, strong word for love. Peter said, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I have strong affection for you." And he said to him, "Feed my sheep." They're my sheep, Peter. My Father chose them in divine election. I purchased them with my blood. The Spirit of God called them. I'm keeping them. I'm their shepherd. Feed them with this. Tell them this. Teach them this. Feed them. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" But that time, the Lord didn't use the strong word. He said, "Peter, do you have strong affection for me?" He used the lesser word that time. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I have strong affection for you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Our Lord, this last time, used that weaker word that Peter used. Peter couldn't get up to that strong word. He couldn't. He just had been humbled and brokenhearted to where he could not bring him to say, "Lord, I love you with strong love." He knew better. He said, "Lord, I've got strong affection for you." And the Lord's so gracious. He's so gracious. He did not press Peter to use that stronger word. The Lord condescended to Peter's low estate and used the word Peter used. Scripture tells us, "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in our own conceits." Well, this third time, Peter was grieved, and it doesn't mean that he was offended. That's not what it means. It means he was sorrowful in his heart. Peter had denied the Lord three times. And after that third denial, that rooster crowed, and the Lord looked on Peter with pity and compassion and mercy. How do you know that, Clay? Because Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's how I know it. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Now, in the same mercy and love and pity, our Lord is drawing this confession out of Peter three times. Three times Peter could not use that stronger word. He uses this weaker word. And I'm sure with that third time he said it, Peter sees the Lord's mercy and his love has not changed to him. Despite Peter's denial, despite Peter's pride, despite all the things he did. And this third time, thinking about how he denied the Lord three times, and yet how merciful and gracious the Lord is to him, it broke his heart all over again. He wept, grieved. That's a strong word. That's a spiritual grieving that goes on in the heart. And only the Lord can produce. Remember, the Lord told him at the beginning, he said, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren, Peter. Each of these questions, the Lord's showing the love and humility with which he restores us. The Lord's meek, he's lowly. He came to Peter, and he even came down to Peter in using this lesser word. That's where Peter learned to submit one to another in humility. I'm sure he was taught this many times again, just like we are, but that's where he learned the lowliness of mind of our Lord and how he brings us to esteem others better. And the Lord not only forgave him his sin and restored him, the Lord said, now, Peter, you can go feed my sheep. Before, in that spirit you had before where you was a cocksure and you knew everything, you couldn't feed them. Now you can feed them because you know you are the vile sinner and Christ is the Savior. Now you can feed them. When he washed their feet, Peter objected. Remember that? Peter objected. You'll never wash my feet, Lord. And the Lord told Peter, he said, what I'm doing now, Peter, you don't know, but you will know later. And the Lord had just done it for him. Now Peter knows what he meant by washing the feet. Peter knows what that is. Peter saw his own sinfulness. He saw his own instability. He saw his insufficiency. He saw his own weakness. He saw his own need of mercy. But he experienced the unchanging, unchangeable, sovereign love of God to restore his people. The Lord taught Peter right here what it is to wash his brethren's feet and to restore the fallen by feeding his sheep with this good news. That's how you wash the feet of your brethren, with this good news of Christ and his everlasting love, his eternal righteousness, his complete salvation of his people, and how he never will leave us, he will not forsake us, he will restore us. This is how you wash the feet of your brethren. How do I know it? It's how he washed you when he first called you. And we don't have an evangelical message and then a message for others. We don't. We have a message of Christ and him crucified. And the Lord is doing the work through this message from the beginning to the end. But he's going to use much affliction. He's going to make us experience his love after our falls. He has to bring us to say, and not be so proud, and make us say, I've fallen. I've fallen. And it's going to be between you and him. It's going to be between you and him. You see, really, you can't sin against your brethren. They're sinners too. You can only sin against the Holy God. And it's going to be between you and him. Now, this is what he's going to keep teaching. Where sin abounds, his grace does much more abound. Now, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter had said, Lord, I won't deny you. I'm ready to die with you. And Peter had tried to show that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he drew that fisherman's knife and cut off that soldier's ear. But the Lord told him, put that up. That's not the weapon of our warfare. And so Peter thinks, I've missed the opportunity. I failed to show him I'm willing to die for him. And the Lord says to him here, Peter, you couldn't die with me before because that was your will. That was your strength and what you, mighty Peter, would do. And if you'd have laid down your life for me, the devil would have won that victory. But you haven't missed out on the opportunity to be killed for my sake. You're going to be. That's what he's telling Peter. It's not going to be by your will. It's going to be by God's will. And he said, they're going to bind you. And they did. And they bound him and they crucified him. It was by God's will and God's time. You know, God's going to even get to glory. If he makes us martyrs, he's going to get to glory for that. If he makes you a martyr, you're going to be killed at his appointed time. And it's going to glorify him. So the Lord says to him, now follow me. Follow me. That's the only way you're going to run this race. Follow me. Look to me. Trust me. Now, the Lord had taken Peter along, and I just picture them walking along talking as the Lord, they've been saying this. Peter looks behind him. It says, verse 20, then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. John has walked up behind him. Verse 21, and Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Brethren, don't think that when the Lord has, you've experienced a fall and the Lord's chasing you and he's restored you, don't think that's going to be the last time. Don't think that you won't need it again. We saw Thursday night how David said, it's been good for me that I've been afflicted, Lord, that I might learn your statutes. And he said, before I went astray, but afterwards I kept your word. You're going to find the last verse of that psalm saying, Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Save me. See, we're slow learners like Peter. Just think about this. The Lord had just restored him. The Lord had just showed him all his love that only the Lord could do. He showed him what only the Lord could do for him. And just that quick, Peter turns around and says, well, what about this man? And the Lord said, if I will, if it's my will, that he lives till I come again. What's that to you? What business is that of yours, Peter? What I do with him? Why are you meddling in his business? Now listen to this word. Follow thou me. You follow me. The Lord's word to Peter here was much, much, much stronger than when he restored Peter. The Lord was gracious. He was pitiful towards sinners, fallen in sin when he walked this earth. He just always was. He received them. He saved them, restored them, healed them. But the Lord was very, very strong toward anybody who was critical of his people. And so the Lord spoke more strongly here to Peter. But get what our Lord's teaching, brethren. It's our business and our only business to each one follow the Lord. Our own selves. Now, you can help your brother by encouraging them, look to Christ. Turn from all this and look to Christ. Hear Christ. You can encourage your brother like Abraham did Isaac. My son, God will provide. He will provide himself. That's the best thing you can tell people. That's what's going to mortify the flesh of wanting to provide for ourselves or for somebody else. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. You can do good things for your brother. You can help your brethren. You can restore and be merciful like the Lord was to them. But we ourselves have to follow the Lord our own selves. Your brother has a master. And his master is who he stands or falls to. And his master will make him stand. That master is Christ. And you have a master who know him. And you fall, and he makes you stand. And Peter's learning, the Lord works, thus he accomplishes the same affliction in your brethren as he's accomplishing in you. If he's done that in us, we believe that, and we know that's so. Why would we speak any other word than that? The Lord will provide himself. The Lord will make you stand, brother. So I want to summarize. Go with me to 1 Peter 5. You know I can't end this without reading this. It's just what Peter, the Lord, everything the Lord taught Peter that day. He said here, the elders, verse 5, chapter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. That's what the Lord told him. Feed my sheep. Take the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not being lords over God's heritage, being examples to the flock. Christ came down to Peter and condescended to restore him. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he's the shepherd, then you'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. This is what Peter had not done. He didn't submit to Christ. That's why he failed. He says, now you submit to the elder. You all be subject one to another. You all submit to one another. Be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Peter knows that, don't he? He didn't know that before. But he knew that after he proudly said, I won't deny you. He found that out. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When our Lord said, Peter, what's that to you? Follow thou me. Here's what the Lord was teaching him. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's what the Lord was teaching Peter. You cast on all your care, not John's care. You cast your care on me, and you follow me. I'll care for John. I'll make him cast his care on me. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You find that out when you fall. And he'll devour you in a heartbeat. Peter learned that too. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, that's the only way you're going to resist the devil. Well, this is all I've been trying to say for 15 years. You have your affection on Christ. Have your book nose in the book. Have your heart pointed to heaven. It's only going to be by looking and trusting Christ to defeat the devil that you're going to defeat the devil. It's only by trusting Christ you're going to do anything. But with him, you can do all things. And it don't take but a grain of mustard seed faith to do it. Watch this. And do this knowing, verse 9, the same afflictions. I'm trying to do them in your brethren. No, I'm accomplishing them in your brethren. Just what I'm accomplishing in you, I'm accomplishing it in your brethren that are in the world. But here's something else Peter learned. But the God of all grace who called us, he learned he's the God of all grace, didn't he? But the God of all grace who called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, you'll deny him, you'll fall, and you'll suffer for a little while. But he'll make you perfect. Establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. And who you going to glorify? When he does this, who you going to glorify? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. If that's wrong, if that's a false gospel, I'll go to hell believing it. Because I believe him. And I don't think nobody ever did yet believe in that gospel. Believe in that Savior. Amen.